Good. Well, folks, if you have your Bible, I hope you got your Bible. That's the thing that stands between you and the devil, because it's the truth. The devil's a liar, a father of lies. Turn to the book of Nahum, chapter number 1 and verse 7. Follows after Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum the prophet. Nahum chapter number 1 and verse number 7. I learned the books of the Bible in the fifth grade at Beaumont Grammar School. I bet they're not teaching them over there now. Nahum chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. I want to put that emphasis on trust in Him. I feel a definite leading tonight to talk about what I'm going to be talking about. Folks, many of you tonight haven't really had a very hard test or trial in your life since you've been saved. That's all right. That's not my place to make the call. But some of you have been put to the test. We've had people in our church put to the test. They're not here now. They didn't pass. And I'm not here tonight to run anybody down, but sometimes when a man looks back on his life, he may see a point where he and God separated. And the Lord went one way, he went the other. He didn't expect it to happen that way, but it did happen. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen time and time again. It's awful easy to shout and praise God and sing when you and everything is going okay. And I want it to go okay for you. Lord knows, man. I mean, I've seen enough suffering in this world. But that's just not the way life is. It doesn't go that way. Sometimes it doesn't go well. The fact is, sometimes it just seems like everything starts coming apart and nothing goes well or goes right. I got saved in 1973 because I put my faith in God. I trusted Jesus. He came into my heart. I believed on Him. I believed on Him like I'd never believed on Him before. I believed on Him as my Savior. And I received Him. I trusted Him. I called on His name. He saved me. He saved me. I was just a baby, green as I could be. Hadn't been saved long, though, until my faith was put to a test, great test, because my wife came down with what's called a giant cell tumor in her back. We wound up going to the Mayo Clinic up in Rochester, Minnesota. She had surgery, and the doctor took it out and said it's notorious for coming back. That was in 1973. Well, it hadn't come back. It's been a long time. Thank God for that. I slept over here at Fort Sanders Hospital for over a month on a cot next to her bed. I was just a baby in Christ, taking in anything I could get, trying to find anything to get my hands on, read everything I could find, listening to everybody I could listen to, trying to get some strength and help, somebody to get me through. But I knew something had happened to me. It was profound. I knew I'd been saved. I knew I'd been changed. That got me through. I knew I'd been saved. I knew that. And I still had a hunger for the Word of God. I never got mad at God. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been times in my Christian life where I and God fell out. I didn't agree with Him. I let Him know that. I didn't like the way He was doing things. The fact is, I said to myself, I can't figure this out to save my soul. Why in the world is God doing it this way? Or why is He doing that? I know you've never had that problem, but I have. But the truth of the matter is, it hadn't always been hunky-dory up on a mountain shouting, praising God, and everything's going fine. Sometimes it's been down in the valley, and you wonder if you're going to make it. You wonder if you're going to survive. As I've said to you time and again, that's when your faith is put to the test. That's when you find out if you've got faith. Until you have been tried, your faith, a lot of times, it's an intellectual thing. But when it comes from the heart, it'll sustain you. It'll get you through. The Bible says, a broken spirit, who can bear it? Well, my spirit was broken at one time after I got saved, and then it was healed. I thank God for that. But I want to emphasize tonight the fact that there is an element involved here that's important. Faith is not a simple thing to define and explain. Now, either you're a believer in the Lord Jesus or you're not. If you're a real believer in Him, then you know you are. If you've just got an intellectual belief in Him, then that's all it is. It's just in your head. But if it controls your life and affects you, down here in your heart, deep down in your soul, then you know you're a real believer. But now, when you put your trust in Him, it's really talking about where God Almighty does something that you may not necessarily like or agree with or can't understand, but you still cling to Him. That's putting your trust in Him. You're putting your trust in Him when you're telling Him that, Lord, I don't understand what's going on here, and I'm not walking a path of faith, really, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is built upon what God declares Himself to be in His Word. And if He said it, you have every reason to believe it, and you can stand on it. It's the Word of God. It's true. That's wonderful. That's faith. But trust is when you reach out beyond that. Trust is reaching out into the dark. Trust is reaching out into the unknown. Trust is reaching out beyond understanding. And it's reaching beyond that. And there's strength in that. There's strength in it. You can better believe that. There's strength in that. And that's the part I want to talk to you about tonight. It's that trust element. His trust. The Bible said, He knoweth them that put their trust in Him. Now, there's some times that I've failed to trust Him. I failed. Raise my hand tonight. Confess it. I admit it. I failed. I didn't trust Him the way I should have. I didn't trust Him. I failed. I'm going to give you a few examples and then bring you down to the Lord Himself in Hebrew. Noah trusted a revelation from God. He trusted it. Even though he was made to be a fool and they mocked him and made fun of him, he built that ark. Now, I look like a fool. And those who are preaching the second advent and the rapture of the church, they make fun of us and they laugh at us like we're a bunch of idiots. But I still believe it. I believe in the coming of the Lord. Abraham trusted God. He trusted God because he left his family. He went into a place unknown. But all he knew was God was speaking to him, and that was good enough for him. That's good. If you understand the voice of God, that's not an easy thing, but that's something you must discern. And I emphasize that tonight and keep encouraging you to keep praying and keep seeking the face of God to understand the voice of the Lord. Because the devil can sure slip you a counterfeit. Abraham trusted Him. He trusted Him. He trusted Him to the point where he offered his only son at the top of Moriah. That's trust. That's trust. He was trusting in the character of God. And that's not easy to do. It's easy to say you do until you come face to face with something you can't figure out. It's going to tear you up. It's going to cost you something. It's going to change your life. It'll never be the same again. It's going to hurt you. And yet you still believe in Him. We had David, for example. He said in the book of Psalm, chapter number 11, his enemies were after him. They were following him. They were constantly hounding him and dogging him. And he wondered sometimes to himself, who did Samuel, maybe he got it wrong when he came over here and anointed me in the house of my father, Jesse. Maybe Samuel messed up. He's just a man, you know, called him to be the king. Of course, he trusted him, though. David did. He trusted God. He trusted him in the midst of a peril, somebody seeking his life. How would you like if somebody's after you tried to kill you? Somebody hit man on you or put out a contract on your life. That'd be hard to trust the Lord, wouldn't it? If you thought somebody was out to get you, you'd say, Lord, I thought the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear Him. Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter number 18, verse 5, it says this about him. It says that of all the kings of Israel before him and after him, none trusted the Lord like Hezekiah. He's quite a remarkable king. Hezekiah was. Hezekiah, for those of you, you need to know this, is in the Bible, obviously, but he's also in profane history. He's on a steel. He's on a circular thing. His name is mentioned in it's stamped in there, chiseled in there. And that king that had it chiseled in that thing says, I had Hezekiah shut up like a bird. A direct reference to the very king of Judah that's mentioned in the Word of God. All those little times when they show up, it's awful. It's good to hear about them, you know. It is. He said, I had him shut up like a bird. Well, he did have him shut up like a bird. But what happened to Sennacherib's troops? 186,000 of them. That's a few divisions, folks. If you say a division, 10, 15,000, you know, maybe 20,000, depending on how big your army is. That's quite a few divisions that one angel of the Lord did away with. Three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were cast into a burning fiery furnace. And they were cast into that furnace, and here's what they said. And I don't know if I could do this or not. I pray I can if I ever had to. They looked at that furnace and says, well, whether we live or whether we burn, we're not going to bow. Now, that took courage and it took trust. They believed in their God, didn't they? They believed in Him. That was tough to look into that furnace, heated seven times hotter than it ever had been. The men who threw Him threw them in. The flames reached out and consumed them. And they fell down bound into that furnace. And I like the way the story tells it. They fell down bound into that furnace. And then the king came to check on them. And he didn't find burnt to crisp corpse. What he found was four men. Did not we throw three into this furnace? He said, there's four in there. And they're not bound. And they're just walking around having prayer meeting. And he said, the fourth one is like the Son of God. In the fires where He'll meet you. He didn't meet them before they were thrown in. He didn't meet them when they were accused. He met them in the furnace. And that's good to remember. His ways are not our ways. He doesn't do things the way we do things. He met them in the furnace. It was in the furnace that God delivered Israel. Did you know that Egypt is called an iron furnace in the Bible? He delivered from an iron furnace. That's what Egypt is called. He delivered them from the furnace. Not before they ever went into it, but from it. He will deliver you out of your problems. He will deliver you from the midst of your troubles and your tribulations. Dear woman, put on our web page. I got it on the page. Man, I get prayer requests. It blows my mind sometimes. I think to myself, I thought I've heard everything, and then I start reading some of these prayer requests. I got one in the day before yesterday. This woman says, I've been married to this man for 38 years. She says he's chasing women. She says he's running here, he's running there. She says he lies, he covers up. His children, my children, they know he's a liar. And she said this at the end of her prayer request. She said, preacher, please pray, please pray. She says, another preacher fallen by the wayside. I marvel at the preachers that are fallen. I marvel at them. Preachers are fallen everywhere, folks. They're falling everywhere. She said, another preacher fallen by the wayside. That'd break your heart if nothing else will. If nothing will, that'll break your heart. And I've had more than one prayer request on that prayer page for preachers that have fallen by the wayside. And who am I up here crowing tonight? Am I up here exalting myself tonight? No, friend. Men a whole lot better than me have fallen. Let that man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. By the way, while I'm thinking about this, I was thinking about this today for some time. When you're talking about standing, the Bible said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. You know, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. These are the weapons of armor. But the thing is, sometimes you can't stand. Sometimes He's literally got to hold you up. Your salvation there has not, it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with standing. That thing over there in the book of 2 Peter has to do with a man warring a warfare. It's a warrior who's going to battle. But when it really comes to the salvation of your soul, it's not you standing, it's Him holding. It's a twofold thing. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against. I can't keep it. I can't keep my salvation. I can't keep myself. That's why I don't believe in the Arminian doctrine of losing your salvation. If that's the case, I'd lost mine a dozen times since 1973. How many agree with me? How many of you had lost your faith a half a dozen times at least? You better believe it. These people aren't honest. They've got a problem. They've got a real problem. And then here's finally, then there's Daniel. And then finally the Lord. Daniel chapter number 6. I like this one. I really do. You talk about nitpicking a man and trying to find a problem with him. They picked Daniel as clean as they could pick him. They watched him night and day, 24/7. They put a guard on Daniel and they watched everything that man did. And you know what they found wrong with him? It's a horrible thing they found too. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse 5. I mean, they really did. They found out what a low-down dog he was. Look here. In Daniel 6, verse number 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Oh, boy. They said, "We may not know his God. We may not believe in his God. We may not know anything about his law. But there's one thing for sure. He does." So if you're going to find something with Daniel, you're going to find it where it contradicts our law. And you remember what they said in the Old Testament? We would obey God rather than men. You remember what I told you, where I learned the books of the Bible? Her name was Miss Jackson. She was my fifth grade school teacher at Beaumont Grammar School. She said, "Kids, we want to learn the books of the Bible. How many would like to learn them?" Oh, everybody shot their hand up. I said, "I want to." So we started with the books of the Bible. I forget how many weeks we put into it. But we started with Genesis and wound up with Revelation, and we learned every book of the Bible. And I learned it in the fifth grade at Beaumont Grammar School. Then the American Civil Liberties Union moved in. And you know what they brought with them? They put little buildings out in the back where the kids, the mothers, unwed mothers, would have their little babies. That's where they keep their babies. Rural high school that I went to, they put little buildings out there so that they could keep the children of the unwed mothers. You see, when God left the school, that came in. And somebody came along to say, "Well, whose God are you going to preach?" The only one there is. That's the one I'm going to preach. Take no bones about it. Step back to nobody. Don't care about arguing with a soul on this earth. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you got the wrong God. Amen. That's how it all started, folks. When I went to rural high school, Beaumont Grammar School, I went to Moreland Heights out here in South Knoxville for a couple of years, there wasn't one God. Just one. Just one. Nobody was catering to the Muslim. Nobody was catering to anybody else's religion. We prayed. We went into our classes. They opened the Bible. We had prayer in our classrooms. Some of you old my age, you know what I'm talking about. Had prayer in our classrooms. Read the Bible. Learned the Scriptures. Woman I had up at rural high school, her name was Mrs. Hale. I forget what grade. I think I was probably 8th or 9th grade, somewhere in there. She was the Bible teacher. Fine, decent woman. Good woman. Mrs. Hale. And she tried to teach us the Bible. And that's rural high school. Wasn't that horrible? Wasn't that awful? Wasn't that a terrible thing for me to be subjected to the Bible and prayer and learning the books of the Bible? Do you know what kids get now when they go to school? They get birth control pills. They get all kinds of things relating to extramarital sex, all kinds of instruction. And of course, they also get sexually transmitted diseases. They get that too in school. Yeah, they get that. They get impregnated in school. They get all that in school. Boy, we've come a long way. They've really made it better, haven't they? They've turned it into a hell hole. They need to be told that too. It's a hell hole. Then finally, in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Hebrews 2:13. This is a powerful thing here, folks. If you look at verse number 12 of Hebrews 2, Scripture says, "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." We have every reason to believe he did that. When they had that Lord's Supper, the Bible said they sang in him. "I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him." Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking about putting his trust in the Father. See this? Christ is trusting the Father. "And again," watch this, "behold, I am the children which God hath given me." That's me. That's you. Children that God hath given me. We are his children. How can we be his children? We are his offspring. How can we be his offspring? We are begotten of him. I have literally been born of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I have, as I think it was Sunday night I was talking about it, when I have that glorified body, I will literally be bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. For the body that I will reside in for eternity will come forth from his. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I'm of his spirit now. I was begotten of his spirit. And my soul knows that. And I'm his child, born of him. He put his trust in God, didn't he? All right? What did they throw in his face when he was hanging on the cross? You remember what they said? Well, they mocked him. They said a lot of things. What was one of them they threw in his face? All right? What else did he say? He trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Remember that? They threw it in his face that he had trusted in God. See how they mock you? See how they like to mock you? They would love nothing better than to see you go through a time of trial and trouble and wilt under it so they can throw it in your face. That's what they want to do. Now, a Christian won't do that to you. A believer will bear you up. He may not say a thing to you, but he'll carry you in his heart home, or she. And they'll get on their knees in prayer, and they'll pray for you, and they'll bear your burdens. They'll lift you up before the Lord. If you ever find a Christian mocking other people, it's somebody that's got a problem. I grew up around people that like to mock people. I hated the kind of life I grew up around. When you see some poor kid over here that has a handicap, you know, you ever see a child that had polio or something? Back when I was a kid, polio was a problem. We used to take little cubes of sugar cubes. We took them, and we also had inoculations for polio. Well, the kids today don't know anything about polio, but back then, if some child was stricken with polio, it would affect. They'd have to walk with crutches. They'd have to put braces on their legs to be able to walk. It would strike their muscles, you know, just literally devastate them. Well, some of these punks that I grew up around, they see some kid walking like that, they go out and mock it and walk the same way. You see, people like that are very, very insecure themselves. They got nothing to give. They got nothing in here to give out. You know, some soul has some handicap. What are you mocking them for? Why don't you pray for them? You know, did you ever stop to think that some people have a much harder road here than you do? That when they have to overcome these handicaps, they have to deal with these problems. I mean, how about thinking? Think about living in a wheelchair all your life. I remember when I graduated rural high school. I can show you in the annual. We lined up out here, and we had some kind of meeting there right before graduation, and they brought this kid in there in a wheelchair. And his problem was far more than just simply couldn't walk. He had all kinds of problems, but he was graduating. Graduating. I didn't know him, never had seen him. But he was part of the graduating class of 1964, Rural High School. I hadn't thought much about it. See, I'd been playing basketball. I was healthy. I mean, man, I was... I've been all over the place. I've been in Georgia playing ball. I've been everywhere playing basketball. That was my life. That was my game. I couldn't imagine sitting in a wheelchair. I couldn't imagine what that kid, the kind of life he'd had to live till you get older. You see, I'm still not in a wheelchair, but I mean, till you get older, you begin to see things that you don't see when you're younger. Some folks have a lot harder road of it than others do. Don't mock them. Don't make fun of people. No, no, no. The Lord never did. The Holy Ghost doesn't mock people, make fun of people. Get on your knees and pray for them. Pray. It's a sad commentary on anybody when they're constantly running somebody down or picking at somebody. That's sad. I say, get a life. Isn't that the way to say it? Get a life. You need to start living. Yeah, it's sad. We had our school here, and we closed it in 1985. Had school for 5 years. We had a little boy in there that was just as pale as he could be, just as weakly. He was weakly from day... He was just a little weakly, frail boy from the first day he showed up to the last day of school. He couldn't run with the other kids. He couldn't play ball with the other kids. He couldn't do anything the other kids did. He wasn't in a wheelchair, but he was just frail. Frail. He had a problem, physical problem. You find yourself going out of your way to try to comfort somebody and help them along when you see them like that, don't you? You do. You do. God's been good to me. He's been real good to me. He's been real good to me. I lived a long time before I ever had the first infirmity hit this old body. Then I had a couple hit me. It started wearing down on me. And I'm not talking about losing hair either. That's not an infirmity. bothers other people more than it does me. It's no big deal to me. Good night. What's that? But now I'm talking about your body begins to decay. Your parts, your sight's not as good as it used to be. And problems, you know. That's what happens. Well, I lived a long time before I ever had any problems. So I got nothing to gripe about tonight. No complaints. No complaints. God's been good to me. I was able for a long time to just do anything I wanted to do, go anywhere I wanted to go, eat anything I wanted to eat. No problems. Got no complaints. God's been real good to me. All the first 25 years of my life, I was an athlete. Played ball in the Marine Corps. Had some of the best basketball ever played in there. College level ball in the Marine Corps. Good games. Able to do all this stuff. Not anymore. The devil comes down on you and he said, "Now look at you." And I looked back at him and I said, "Listen to me. God's been good to me. He's been real good to me." If you got an attitude of thankfulness like that, you'd be amazed at how far along it'll go with you in your prayer life. He's been good to me. I don't understand Him, but I'm going to trust Him. And I want Him to help me trust Him more. There's a woman laying over here. Her name is Kitty Grindstaff. And she's been dying with cancer now for some time. Please pray for her. She's in real bad pain. Real bad pain. Real bad. Please pray for her. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Just keep praying for her. That's all you do. That's what you do. You keep praying. You don't quit. You don't give up. You keep praying. And Samuel, I went to see. Is Samuel here tonight? He's here tonight? What about that? Now I'm going to tell you something. You may not know this, but that little boy right there has got courage. Did you know he will not tell his parents he's hurting because he doesn't want the treatments, some kind of treatment they give him? So he just hurts. Just a little young thing like him. That's a great big character trait that little boy has. It's remarkable. It really is. Samuel, don't give up on him. I prayed with him today and anointed him with oil. I'm praying God heals him. This is a war of attrition. A war of attrition is a war that is not won and lost on one big battle. A war of attrition is a war that is fought in many little battles. That's a war of attrition. And so we fight little battles. We go through this battle, then we go into the battle, then another battle, then another battle. Will you all fight the battles with us? Will you carry Samuel? I mean, look at him. It's all that little fellow's known most of his life, isn't it? Amen. 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 Mickey Blakely's having surgery tomorrow. Pray for her. She's having parathyroid surgery. So just lift her up. She just requests prayer. That's all people pray for. So pray for her tomorrow. Lift her up. Keep praying for Janelle. She's walking all over the place. Hallelujah. Amen. She's walking everywhere. Won't be too long. She'll be running. So keep praying. Keep praying. Don't ever let anybody tell you that all of the miracles in the Bible just happened all of a sudden. Sometimes God takes time to do what He's going to do. He has a reason for it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else have requests tonight? Yes, ma'am.